Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field and West. Packers Giants, the wild card playoff game is getting ever closer. And on Wednesday, the Packers elected their playoff captains for the 2017 or 2016 postseason, as we're now here in January of 2017. The Packers do this a little differently than other teams. Most other teams in the league have captains for the entire season that wear the C patch on their jersey. The Packers have different captains every week throughout the regular season and then elect playoff captains to serve in those roles throughout the postseason. Two on offense, two on defense, two on special teams. And interestingly, the way the Packers, the way the players vote for this and the way the voting fell this year, the most established person in each segment of the team as far as a veteran player was elected, but then also a first-timer as far as a captain's role was elected for each one. Aaron Rodgers, Julius Peppers, and Mason Crosby. But then the first-timers, T.J. Lang, Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, and Micah Hyde. So a real interesting mix there as the way the player voting shook out.
It definitely, Mike. And first off, you got to feel good for Julius Peppers again, third year in a row. With the Green Bay Packers, a team, it was a new team for him when he came to Green Bay. That shows the respect that, and really the admiration you see that locker room show for him getting picked for a third straight year. And then you got T.J. Lang and Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix, the first-time Pro Bowlers, both getting the nods. And a guy like Micah Hyde, who when you talk about the four-down football player, I don't think there's anyone that probably was more deserving of a C on their chest than Hyde. I mean, everything he's done for this team, both in the secondary and also on special teams, and you know he's the personal protector on punts. He's been the punt returner the last few weeks. He basically can play any unit for them. That was cool to see him get that honor as well.
Yeah. For Aaron Rodgers, eight straight playoff appearances, eight straight captain selections for the quarterback. So no big surprise there. And he was actually just named the NFC's Offensive Player of the Month. The eighth time, I believe, in his career, he's been named an Offensive Player of the Month for the conference. But getting back to your point about Micah Hyde, interestingly, not on special teams per se, but recently, he's made two of the biggest plays of the season for this team with the pass breakup at the goal line in Chicago that forced the Bears to kick the field goal, which only tied the game rather than the Bears taking the lead with a touchdown. And then the interception on the back shoulder throw to Golden Tate at the goal line in Detroit last Sunday night. You can't say enough about what Micah Hyde has meant to this team in 2016.
No, and as Mike McCarthy said on Wednesday when asked about that and Hyde's contributions, that was kind of a microcosm of what he means to this football team, how valuable he is to the Green Bay Packers. The fact that you know you don't have Randall Cobb, so he's doing the punt return thing again. You look at the cornerback position, you lose Demaryius Randall and Quint Rollins and McKenton Dorlian, and then he goes in there at boundary corner, a position that he's maybe played six or seven total snaps at in the regular season during his NFL career, and then comes up with a game-changing play there. That's just what Micah Hyde does. I don't think, you know, everyone loves to go to him in the locker room. Everybody wants to talk to him. I know when I'm doing my Herb Waters story, I go up to Micah Hyde to get a quote about what he thinks of Herb Waters. But I think so infrequently do people really realize what number 33 means to this football team as well. And him getting that honor for the special teams captain along with Mason Crosby, I think definitely says a lot about what that locker room thinks of him.
Yeah, for sure. And hats off also to T.J. Lang and Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix. We talked over the last couple weeks about them making their first Pro Bowl and whatnot. But to receive that type of honor from your teammates when there are other veteran players like Jordy Nelson and Morgan Burnett and guys like that who have been playoff captains in the past and certainly deservingly so, and nobody would argue with those selections now. The Pro Bowl selection and where those guys are in their careers right now, to get that type of vote from their teammates says a lot.
Yeah, and I don't know, Mike, and you probably know this better than I do, but I can't think of many instances in which an offensive lineman gets the captaincy. I think Joe Thomas wears it in Cleveland. I'm sure there's more examples of it throughout the league. But specifically, that's usually offensively, it's someone that's a skill position player. It's somebody that, you know, is getting all the headlines. I thought it said a lot about T.J. Lang and that locker room to give it to him. I mean, when you look at what Lang has done over the years here, not just on the field. You know, as we see this year, he's a Pro Bowl caliber guard. But off the field, the leadership he provides, the way he steps up for guys, the way he steps up on the field for players as well. He's always been that bulldog for this offensive group, and I think really set the tone in that offensive line room for the culture that they want. So for him to get that honor, definitely well-deserved.
Yeah, and actually the first times in the McCarthy era with the Packers selecting playoff captains that an offensive lineman did get that honor from his teammates. So hats off again to TJ Lang. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, getting back to quarterback Aaron Rodgers, as we mentioned, eight consecutive playoff captainships for the Packers, and now the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Month, a 122.0 passer rating over the last five games, including January 1, right, is counted in that final month of the season. But he had an interesting session at his locker with reporters on Wednesday. One of the topics that came up was leadership, and I thought his answer to the question about the definition of leadership was interesting. And I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but to paraphrase it a little bit, leadership, the best kind of leadership in his mind, is the kind that comes from guys who don't declare themselves leaders verbally. It's about what they do and how they go about it, and having everybody follow in line behind it. And we certainly make, you know, lots of Aaron Rodgers quotes and the things that make headlines that he says, but the leadership that that number 12 shows goes way beyond that.
It definitely does, Mike. And the biggest thing he said right off the bat is it's authentic. It's not trying to seek leadership for the sake of being a leader. It's leadership for knowing how important your role is on the football team. And that goes for the kicker all the way to the quarterback. I mean, it goes, you know, through the entire course of a football team. But for Rodgers' perspective, he's very much in touch and very much in tune with how much his play matters to this team, how much his actions matter to this team, and how much his words matter to this team. I think that gets back to the run the table comment and everything that went into that. It's about knowing the pulse of your football team and being able to find ways, whether it is in the media or whether it's just inside the locker room. As he said, you know, you're going to have moments throughout the course of the year where you got to pull together. And it might not be something that's going to make a headline, but it's going to be something that when you're out there on the football field on Sunday, your teammates are going to know that message. They're going to understand what you think of them, the confidence that you have, and being able to reinforce that, because we're human. Everybody's human. If I write a good story and you tell me, hey, Wes, nice story, that builds confidence. If you tell me I wrote a bad story, that's going to hurt my confidence. But whatever the case may be, I think that's the one thing about Aaron Rodgers' leadership style that a lot of times doesn't get talked about enough, is really him having a great pulse on this football team and knowing when to say the right words at the right time.
Yeah, and that word authentic really is the best word to use, because even when you go back to the run the table comment, or from a couple years ago, the RELAX comment that he made on the radio, yes, those are somewhat calculated sayings. He's saying those things for a reason, but he's also saying it because he believes it, because it's the truth, and it is real and authentic to him. He's not just saying it to make a headline or just throwing, you know, random words or random slogans out there. He's saying it because he believes it. And when you have that reputation, not only publicly, but even more importantly, within your own locker room, as the quarterback, as the face of the franchise, that carries a lot of weight. And so when he stood there after a four-game losing streak and said, I think we can run the table, I really do, the rest of the locker room was like, all right, this guy believes in us, and that's why he said it.
Right, and I don't want to get into this whole like power of positivity vibe or whatever, make it a cliche, but you look at the direction he took, you look at the words that Mike McCarthy used with the players, staying positive. As Rodgers even said, I mean, after they went through that stretch, McCarthy maybe became even more of a player's coach.
Yeah.
I know Micah Hyde and a bunch of other guys in the locker room said, you know, instead of cussing us out and telling us that we're terrible, he reinforced that, hey, you know what? We're doing the right things. Keep doing those. Don't lose sight of those.
Yeah.
Because they felt like they were building towards something, even if the wins were coming. Another guy that, you know, doesn't get a lot of a lot hasn't been said about it was Julius Peppers.
Yeah.
Peppers during that whole stretch said a lot of times, we're going to get through this. We're going to, now he doesn't have as many cameras around him. He doesn't say it with as much, you know, verve in his voice, but he was fully confident that they would pull themselves out of this too. It's that confidence that gets you a 6-game winning streak. It's that confidence that allows you to run the table. And it's that confidence that now has them as a number 4 seed going into the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, and you mentioned with Mike McCarthy, and let's be sure not to overlook this. There were a lot of headlines out there about, is there a problem between the relationship between McCarthy and Rodgers? And we've seen over the years, I mean, in the competitive heat of the moment stuff, you know, there are some things that happen on the sidelines, you know, some facial expressions and this and that. That's all in the heat of the game. Aaron Rodgers said, you know, hey, don't listen to any of that outside noise about anything going on between, supposedly between me and the head coach. Aaron Rodgers said, you know, we believe in this system. The way Mike McCarthy has coached this team, the way he has led this team has worked in the past, we're sticking behind him. He stood up for his head coach at a time that he could have made all kinds of headlines if he had just said one little thing that said that where he thought maybe he knew better than the head coach or something like that. He didn't go that way because he also believes in his head coach, and that centralization, I guess I would say, for lack of a better word right now, that was the foundation of everybody sticking together, was the fact that the leaders, both the coaching staff and in the locker room, those leaders were sticking together through the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely, Mike. And listening to Rodgers on Wednesday speak, him saying that Mike McCarthy's system works. And I think that's such a, it's just a small phrase, it's just a little quick thing, but when you think of the NFL, when you look at a lot of the examples right now of those 20 teams that aren't in the playoffs right now, a lot of the narrative surrounding a very, you know, quite a few of those teams, it's difficult to find a system that works in the NFL. It's such a difficult league. It's tough to get a win. And the Packers have that with McCarthy, Rodgers, Thompson, whatever you want to talk about. They found that. And I think the key now is to see how long they can make this thing go.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, Wes, let's get to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we talked a lot about leadership, captainship, everything like that on the show so far. But let's shift gears to some of the nuts and bolts as far as who's going to be on the field potentially on Sunday afternoon at Lambeau against the Giants. An injury update here for the Packers. Both Randall Cobb and Demaryius Randall getting on the practice field on Wednesday, both on a limited basis. But a good sign there that possibly both of those guys, one key guy on offense and one key guy on defense, might be available come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, starting with Cobb, it sounded like, you know, listen to him a little bit talk, and I know you asked him about this and hoping to be on the field on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers seemed to have quite a bit of optimism in his voice that maybe Cobb could be back out there, got back on the field, was able to take some reps with the rest of his teammates once again after sitting out for a bulk of these last 2 weeks with that ankle injury. And then you look over at Demaryius Randall, that's a huge guy to have back on the field and to have him practicing and being able to take reps after, you know, having the knee injury, coming off, trying to go back in and then coming off again. Really weren't sure what exactly to expect. Quentin Rollins has actually entered the concussion protocol, still listed as a neck injury as well coming out of that game in Detroit, but so you don't know what his availability is going to be. With as stressed as that secondary has been, if by any measure that Demaryius Randall might be available for the NFC wild card game against the Giants, that would be a huge boost for this defense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Randall, I tell you, for a guy who as a rookie seemed to, you know, always be available and always be out there, he's really had to battle through quite a few injuries this year. He had the groin injury, which required a medical procedure. He had to sit out for several weeks. Then he came back. He's been dealing with a shoulder injury. Now he's got a knee injury from the Detroit game.
Also had the hand injury, or was it a thumb injury?
Yeah, it was like a thumb injury really early in the season. That's right. I forgot about that one, too. So one of these guys that just can't seem to get any luck in the injury department this year. But if there's any way that he can be out there and help the secondary, as you said, with Quentin Rollins being in the concussion protocol, his status obviously very much up in the air. And Mackinton Dorland, who recently was put on the active roster as an extra cornerback, now going on injured reserve with his knee injury, Herb Waters, the converted wide receiver, now being elevated to the active roster as a cornerback, potential, I guess you'd say, emergency cornerback, yeah, if they were to need him come Sunday afternoon. So still a lot of moving parts here, but boy, it sure would be something to see both number 18 and number 23 back in uniform on Sunday.
Yeah, no question, Mike, and that's actually the part of it that has been just so astounding this year, is what the Packers have had to battle through with the injuries at cornerback, because at no point have they ever really been out of the woods. It just seems like, okay, they get their guys back and then something else happens, and they get everybody back and then something else happens. We'll see how they weather through this. It's going to be a challenge. I think everybody understands that, especially this time of the year where you're going to face some of the best passing offenses in the NFL. If there's one thing they're conditioned for, though, it's preparing for the unforeseen. I mean, they had to do it again against Detroit. You've had basically everybody in that secondary play every position that they have available in the secondary. Morgan Burnett's played inside linebacker. I'm waiting for Micah Hyde to line up at defensive end. It's just, it's one of those things that it's just how the season has played out. And I think we saw this, if you remember back in 2013, that's kind of what happened at outside linebacker when Clay Matthews had the twice broken thumb. Nick Perry, I think, was playing on a broken foot. Dayton Jones is playing outside linebacker when he wasn't naturally trained there in the divisional playoff game against the 49ers. So this has happened before in Dom Capers' defense. The question is now is how do you scheme for it, and what do you do to kind of try to help and give those guys who are on the field some assistance on game day?
Yeah, definitely. And another point, getting back to Cobb as well, we've heard from a lot of fans in our insider inbox and people asking questions, well, if Cobb comes back, then what about Geronimo Allison and what he's done lately and everything? And it's sort of like, hey, if Mike McCarthy, who has used umpteen gazillion different personnel groups this year, if he has an emerging Geronimo Allison and a returning Randall Cobb in the receiver core and can maybe mix and match some new personnel groups and get everybody involved, he's not going to complain at this point. With everything that he has dealt with this year offensively in terms of getting game plans ready, having another guy back while another young player is emerging and starting to produce, that's a great problem to have.
It's an extra card in his hand to use and to play in this game of football, and I think that's the biggest thing people have to center on. Getting Randall Cobb back makes this offense stronger. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, with that, let's throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, in the last segment, I mentioned Herb Waters being elevated to the active roster. This is an undrafted rookie from Miami, came to the offseason program and training camp as a wide receiver. And then during the regular season, the Packers decided to switch him to cornerback, which then also led to a switch in numbers from 16 that he was wearing as a wide receiver to 26. So, a Herb playing cornerback wearing number 26 for the Packers. I don't know if that's any kind of a sign that he's headed to the Hall of Fame. We'll hold off on the Herb Adderley comparisons for now. But an interesting prospect, certainly, and we'll just have to see if, I guess in a perfect world, the Packers won't need him on Sunday to play cornerback, but they're obviously preparing for the possibility and feel like he can help out if he's called upon.
This is pretty incredible, though, if you think about it, Mike. A guy who hadn't played that position since high school was recruited to the U as a receiver, so he put that behind him. It wasn't even like it was up for debate when he went to college as far as what position he was going to play. He was going to be a receiver. But the Packers, as Mike McCarthy said, he kind of liked him as a receiver, too, but they felt like this was his best path forward. They make that conversion right at the start of the regular season, and here we are, 17, 18 weeks later. He's now on the 53-man roster at an entirely new position. McCarthy gave a lot of credit to Waters. He also gave a lot of credit to Joe Witt, the cornerbacks coach, for being able to facilitate that transition. That's not an easy one to make. But if you look at the Packers' track record, you want to use the 26 and Herb Adderley positive energy. I mean, you can also use the U and former receiver positive energy with Sam Shields. It worked out tremendously. Now, I don't want to set the bar that high for Waters, but I think there is something to be said for a young man who comes in here, makes an abrupt switch like that, and finds his way on the 53-man roster all within about 3-4 months' time.
Yeah, Shields, if I recall correctly, he had made the transition for his final year at the U. At Miami before he entered the NFL. But it certainly says something about Herb Waters' athletic ability and his smarts and what they think of him. This is not a conversion that can happen overnight. And ideally, he wouldn't be on the active roster right now. It's happening because of the injury situation, unfortunately. But it'll be interesting to see just whether it's next year or whenever in the future if this conversion for him really takes hold and he becomes maybe the next Sam Shields, so to speak.
Yeah, they're going to be patient with him. They've been patient with him up until this point and given him the entire season to learn that position. I mean, you look at some practice squads in the NFL, they'll abruptly switch those quickly. You know, there's a lot of turnover, but the Packers have stayed pretty true to their original 10 that they had. Either they're up on the active roster now or they're still on the practice squad. So for Waters' perspective, this is an opportunity. And we'll see exactly how the game day 46 works out. If there's a chance for him to be out there for special teams, you know, he's a really athletic young man, very quick, very fast, could potentially help them in that capacity as, you know, a guy on the coverage units. We'll have to wait and see. But at the end of the day, I think the fact that he's gotten to this point, it's really remarkable. I was really surprised when Mike McCarthy mentioned that they're bringing him up. I figured it would at least be until next year that he would really get a good chance to make the active roster at that position.
Yeah, just another sign that you never know what's going to happen here as a season unfolds. And just to touch briefly on the Giants injury situation, the only really big name of note is that Jason Pierre-Paul not practicing, still not back. It sounds like he may not make it back for this game, but otherwise the Giants, pretty healthy team.
Core muscle injury surgery, that sometimes takes a number of weeks to get back. We'll see what happens with JPP.
All right, sounds good. With that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.